a lot of what I've been told is the kids feel safer in your home emotionally, and therefore they unload on you, right? So and that's nice, it's validating, but it also feels terrible because that means I get the majority of the violent meltdowns. I get the majority of the like asserting needs and wants for agency that I don't think they express in the other home.
Tell Me About Your Kids is a chance for you to listen in on unscripted conversations with connected parenting specialist Bonnie Harris. As she talks with real parents like you about real struggles like yours, these counseling sessions get to the heart of why our buttons get pushed as parents and offer tips and advice useful no matter your child's age. Listen in and subscribe to let go of old habits and raise your kids in a way that feels good. If you're having a parenting challenge and need help, visit BonnieHarris.com for free resources, schedule a session, or get a free one-on-one counseling session by becoming a podcast guest. We're all in it together. You're not alone. Thanks for listening.
Tell me about your kids. Welcome back to Tell Me About Your Kids. I'm Bonnie Harris, and I am your host, and Adam Arnone, who is here with me, sound engineer, wizard, jack of all trades, good buddy.
Good experimental dancer.
Oh, experimental dancer.
Well, I'm thinking about getting into it.
I see.
Just wanted to try that on. See how it felt.
I would like to see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
I'll let you know
okay.
how the progress is.
Good.
And maybe we can post some links at some point as I do interpretations of these podcasts. Hey,
that's what your dancing will be.
Yeah.
Parenting sessions put to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just sadness.
Movement therapy. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Agreed. You know, we usually, when we do these intros, we sort of break down what this podcast was about, this specific one, where it went, how old the kids are. You know, you're working through with somebody in a live session, which these are very private. I mean, usually they're extremely private. Mm-hmm. And the people who choose to come onto this have, I believe, their motive is to share their story with other people in hopes that other people won't feel so alone. And in this one, I think it's really important to point out that you're talking to a mom, a single mom, who is going through the after effects of a very, very difficult divorce. Mm-hmm. She has two kids, 6 and 10, and is trying to find her own identity, being a, it seems like a fairly new, mom on her own, and trying to find a balance between the kids going back and forth between these two houses because they have split custody. And so I feel like it's so important to just say sometimes you can, you know, sort of break down what the episode was about, or you can just say this one is really about just being there for somebody.
Yeah.
And listening.
I think that's a nice way of putting it.
But with this one, it was important to, I think, present this episode as it is, where it goes in a bunch of different directions, because this mom is really just trying to figure it out. And she is just trying to find a balance. And she ends up, she's on the receiving end of a lot of feelings.
Yeah, a lot of feelings from her kids and a lot of fallout on them from the divorce, which is just so hard, especially when it feels out of your control.
It's emotional limbo for both the kids and the mom.
I think that's a really good way of putting it, Adam. Emotional limbo. Yeah.
You don't know.
It's really tough.
It is really tough. You don't know where to go. You don't know, because I think everybody's just holding on to get back to some sort of normalcy. And there's a new normal.
Yeah.
And the new normal is very different for both houses. So I feel for her. I really do. Something that did stand out to me in this was that she is talking about how she feels like when her kids come to her house, they just need a break. They need a rest from the type of structure that's happening at her ex-husband's house. And, but as most of us know who have kids, when you don't have structure for your kids, it's almost always more difficult. As someone who's tried to impose more structure in my house, because I personally feel like I want to have less structure because I find that there's just more of a free, you know, way that we can all just be who we are all the time. But I have learned that my kids actually thrive more in structure, even though they hate it.
So you're
constantly having to battle against that to be like, this is what's good for you. But you hate it.
When there's a lot of structure at the other house, you want to compensate for that, and that creates a lot of tension and doubt and difficulty.
Well, I think it's important that her story is told. When you're talking to somebody who's in the thick of it, it just reminds you that feelings are real, they're raw, they're big, and you know, she was very... I think generous to share that story. And she very much wanted other people to hear the story and really say, I'm going through this. And if you're going through it too, then, you know, we're not alone. Two things. One being our affiliates, Thrive Market and Earth Mama Organics. Go to the liner notes and you can learn more about those. Click on those links and shop with them because it helps this podcast. And you can read all about it there. The other thing is that we have not talked about this new development of something that you just released. And I would love for you to tell people what is now available, Bonnie.
Well, my book, When Your Kids Push Your Buttons.
You wrote a book?
Yes, I wrote two books.
Two books? Easy there.
When Your Kids Push Your Buttons and... Adam does all the titles and the music in it, and I read you the book, and it's on Audible. And please follow, again, the link in the liner notes and buy your audio version of When Your Kids Push Your Buttons.
I think there's going to be a lot of people who, either if they don't know about the book... Probably a lot of people are here because of the book, but when they don't know about the book, when they go through and they read it, you're like, oh, that's what she's talking about. That's it's like a snap. This podcast, each episode is a snapshot of a little bit about what you teach. And then it's
put it all together.
Put it all together in this book with tons of examples. It's a fantastic book. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased and like you. So go to the liner notes, check that out, and get to it. All right, here we go.
When parents divorce, the main work is on civil communication without judgment, criticism, and getting children stuck in the middle. Hostility between parents leaves children feeling worried and untethered. In this episode, the hostility between the siblings and toward mom are likely a fallout from hostility between the parents. It takes an enormous amount of self-confidence for a parent to brush off accusations from an ex. Seldom do parents have that confidence when raised punitively. Beliefs from childhood of never getting it right linger, and accusations cut deep. Welcome to the show, Kristen. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I have listened to some of your other work. I really appreciate the way you talk to parents about their struggles, so thank you for that. Thank you for helping us.
Thank you for that. Thank you. So tell me about your kids.
Okay, so I've got one child, R, who's 10, identifies slightly as non-binary, but assigned female at birth. It's kind of an evolving situation. I have another child, L, who's 6, and it's interesting. I love the vocabulary you've used around Integrity Children and Harmony Children, because for L, my little guy, oh my God, Integrity Child, like explosive, reactive, you can't have M&Ms before dinner. It's just boom, violent, explosive reactions. So yes, he's very reactive, very strong-willed, fights tooth and nail for everything. Physically violent, hits me, kicks me, has taken on spitting. But he can also be like the sweetest little love bug in the history of it. Like, so snuggly, just so joyous. Like his laughter is like amazing. And then my other child, R, to be honest, I'm not sure if R is Integrity or Harmony, or maybe just on the spectrum kind of in the middle. The thing I'm looking forward to talking to you about is, you know, sibling conflict. So when R is activated, it seems like R is very Integrity. But then, you know, I'm divorced.
Now, I want to just make it clear that Integrity doesn't mean angry and violent.
Right. Yes.
Right. That's what happens. That can happen. But for either a Harmony or Integrity child, when they're upset and angry
activated
about something. Yeah. But that doesn't, an Integrity child, other parts of L sound that way. An Integrity child is very argumentative, doesn't back down from a fight, is very typically demanding, and has really hard time with transitions, is very, very sensitive.
Right. Thank you for that. I think both my children are both like classified as HSPs, like highly sensitive people. So am I. L is a very strong empath, highly sensitive person. With R, like I said, I can't really tell because sometimes R really seems to roll with things and sometimes R is very argumentative and won't back down. As I've mentioned to you before, I am divorced. It's been a very complicated situation. I have 50-50 custody with my children. We have a 2-2-3 split schedule, which people might understand. You know, there's 7 days in a week. So you have a parent has the children 2 nights, you swap the other parent 2 nights, and then you go back to the original for the 3 nights of the weekend. And you kind of do that on a 14-day schedule. So everyone, you know, you have every other weekend, but it's complicated because I only have my kids every other Monday, every other Wednesday.
And they're going back and forth a lot.
Yes. That's something I'm trying to follow my intuition. I'd like to modify our schedule, but one of the things that's probably not that unique, but my divorce is not amicable pretty much at all. I've been aware since having children that I have, you know, this peaceful parenting, or I don't know if you want to say like validating parenting mindset. And I never fully felt supported by my ex in that way. Like it was sort of, I want to be emotionally supportive of my children and kind of give them some agency. And then on the other hand, it seemed there were expectations of our family, like, no, this is what you do. We act this way. You just get on board, get with the program. So that's always been challenging. And that flows through our divorce. You know, when the kids are with their father, they're doing things constantly, always on the go. Adventures, they've gone on vacations. I mean, wonderful experiences. But I think that going through COVID and a divorce, and I've moved twice in 2 years, my kids seem to be screaming out to me that they need rest and soothe and peace, right? And so I feel like at their dad's house, they have much more order and structure and many more activities. Then I think at my house, they seem to both be going in the Integrity route of saying, like, I am tired, I need rest, we need to stop. And it seems like they are really, at my house, I don't think we have as many emotional coping skills. I think they're overwhelmed and there's a lot of screen watching. So it's kind of provided this dichotomy where I get a lot of judgment from my ex that my children are on screens all the time. But I really, they're just, I mean, honest to God, my little guy the other day, he was supposed to go to a basketball game with his dad. That sounds fun. But he was just like, Mommy, I don't want to go. And I can't influence the other house. I'm constantly put down. And my parenting's been shamed. I've been shamed. I get cursed at. I get put down constantly to the point where now we have to do a court. Well, we can't communicate via phones anymore. And so dealing with the behaviors I'm seeing from these Integrity children and navigating alone while trying to recover from years of being shamed about my parenting feels just so acutely lonely, challenging, and I feel lost a lot of the time. So, and I'm going to get emotional. So when I'm dealing with these behaviors, it's like I don't have the internal confidence built up to feel like I can lead my mm-hmm. children through them. I'm trying really hard. I go to therapy. I'm doing all these things. But I don't know how to react because I only get them 50% of the time. I mean, I did listen to one of your podcasts and it was, I understand like you can't talk about kids when things are heated in the moment. But my older one, R, is like always in their bedroom and never wants to talk to me. And the little guy like basically wants to live on me and doesn't give me any alone time with R. And so we have these acute issues like maybe we'll say getting out the door for school in the morning. That's a big one. That's one of the options I put on there to talk about. Where there's mm-hmm. so much tension between the kids. They're screaming and R wants to get out the door on time. L cannot stand kindergarten and does not want to go. I can't resolve. I don't even have time to resolve it, right? Like I have a deadline of getting to the bus. R is breaking Lil down, basically shaming him about not being ready and yelling at him and crying and saying how scared they are that they're going to be late. And L just doesn't want to go and says like, I can't go. I can't do it today. And I'm literally trying to navigate. And then I feel like we don't have time for repair because I have them for 2 days. So they are highly sensitive. They need a lot of downtime with transitions. And I just feel like we're existing in this world where there's not much connection. I would like to support them. I don't really feel confident in knowing how to support them through these challenges. And their relationship seems so fraught. There's a lot of stuff, obviously.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So I'm struck by Elle hating kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering this is kind of a tangent, but it's hard to, if kindergarten is done the right way, it should be all play. And I don't think that's happening anymore in schools.
No.
And is he feeling pressured? Is he given academics? Is he given homework? Things like that.
Right. He does seem to have a lot of anxiety. We actually did screen him potentially to see if he was on the spectrum, but it came back with just anxiety. We have a partial day kindergarten. It's from about 8:30 to 11. So it's very short. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of academic instruction. The teacher's wonderful mm-hmm. and she's very warm. However, then he goes to enrichment, which I would really prefer childcare because both of us work, both the parents. I would really prefer like after kindergarten's over, they basically just play. But I think to justify the cost, they say there's enrichment where it's almost kindergarten round two, structured activities, you know, lessons, yeah. which I don't necessarily agree with that. And then from 3:20 to 5, then it's just aftercare where it's all the kids kind of playing around. So L's day is so long. He gets on the bus at 8. He has a half day kindergarten that, from what I've heard, like academic standards now for kindergarten are what used to be first grade academic standards. He gets very anxious about homework. He gets anxious about not being able to hold down a job when he's older. Like, he'll say things like, Mommy, I don't know if I can work like you do. But with homework, he's very anxious about homework. And he's very, I mean, he's very explosive, but he can say very articulate, emotionally cognizant things. Like, he'll just say, it's too long a day. I'm tired.
Let me ask you, do you try to get him to do his homework? Do you work with him on it?
Well, homework is currently optional. I will not work on homework in my house at the moment. I'm not sure if in the other home they do.
Good.
I mean, I just really, right now, my whole mentality is like rest, soothe, support. I'm not really pushing things right now.
Do not push homework at all, ever.
It's a huge problem for R, massive problem.
I imagine the anxiety and a lot of the sensitivity that goes along with anxiety comes from the tension between you and your ex. And that's always a problem when there is that kind of animosity in the divorce, which is most of the cases of divorce. You know, there are very, very few amicable divorces. So the tension between the parents certainly trickles down to the kids. The kids know it. They feel it.
I know.
The environment in both households is very different. His is very structured. Yours is very not. And it's very confusing for the kids, right?
It is fascinating because I think in an ideal world, if we could even just have shared bedtimes for the kids. But it is one of the things I've been told over and over is that which is validating and also infuriating, is that the kids feel safe with me. Therefore, they unload on me, right? It almost feels hopeless to say it's the parental animosity because I don't know how to fix that. However,
yeah,
like in an ideal world, I wish my ex and I could have, say, shared values or shared routines between our houses. But the behavior of the children in my home is so different than in his home. And one thing that I'm, you know, I go to a lot of therapy. I've done coaching. A lot of what I've been told is the kids feel safer in your home emotionally, and therefore they unload on you, right? So and that's nice, it's validating, but it also feels terrible because that means I get the majority of the violent meltdowns. I get the majority of the like asserting needs and wants for agency that I don't think they express in the other home. So I can't, right. I cannot commit to being like, yeah, we're going to go to bed at this time, because if I have a 30-minute epic screaming meltdown that I'm trying to stay emotionally supportive through, it's like, okay, well, then I need a break. So I can't do 8 o'clock bedtime.
I'm hearing, Kristen, that you feel really worn down by the experience with your ex, with the kids. It's like, and you feel like there's not much there in your reserve. And I think that has a lot to do with your kids. Unloading on you is one thing, but, you know, pushing you around and kicking you and hitting you and all of that is not okay. And that's something that I think is the result of the worn downness that you feel.
Right.
Right. So it's, and the lack of self-confidence because of all you've gone through.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And I'm working on that. And I do want to say, like, for other people who have gone through this, like, I have diagnosed complex PTSD from experiences. Like, I'm trying to advance in my career and do this. So I don't have many reserves. But I do try to, now I feel like I'm getting in a mode where I was a little nervous about that, where I'm like, oh no, am I the whole problem? Which is
No.
Right. But it's like I don't have many reserves. And I do try to hold like loving limits about things like the violence and the hitting. And I guess like I can't understand the difference between the unloading and the, say, hitting and kicking, because they happen at the same time. It feels like I've tried to read all the books, like the brain child thing. It's like upstairs brain, downstairs brain. They seem to also get very triggered, like almost where they're gone, like their rational brains can get gone very quickly. So I don't know how to navigate all of these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're totally right.
What happens when you just let it go, let the meltdown happen without trying to do anything about it?
I can't really do that because my little guy really comes at me, like very physical. And I try and hold limits, like loving ones, and just be like, nope, I'm not going to let you hit me. You know, like, that's not safe for mommy. Like, you can be mad. Good. But, and like, hit the pillow, hit this. But he really does not give me options. Like, he comes at me. He, like, automatically hits me. So with my big one, there is a lot of door slamming and screaming. I've also, you know, my big one will come at my little one sometimes. The escalation leads to physicality, in which I feel like I'm required to intervene for safety.
All right. So let's talk about working with them when things are good,
right?
When everyone is in their rational brain.
Yes.
And maybe it's one-on-one with each of them,
yes,
rather than the three of you.
Oof.
The three of you is probably a bad dynamic, right?
Right. Agreed.
It's one-on-one. Is it better?
Yes. Although, may I add, the big one often shuts me down when I try and engage. I do try to, in the calm moments, re-engage. Again, it's so hard. I only have them 50% of the time. So I'll try and wait till things are calm and say like, hey, like, can we talk about what happened earlier? I'm usually shut down with like, I don't want to talk about this. Or sometimes it'll be instantaneous, almost like tears from the big one, or like straight yelling, I don't want to talk. There's no opportunity to talk to the big one. And the little one's six. I do try to talk to him about getting out the door on time, keeping the big ones like, oh, R doesn't feel safe in the morning. We're going to try and work as a team. Like, what could we do?
What you want to do is make sure that you're not asking questions.
Okay.
Right? Especially with R.
Yep.
Because that raises his hackles. You want to make statements. So it's just like you're thinking out loud.
Yep.
So it would be more in line with, I've been thinking about how difficult mornings are for all of us, and I want to come up with a way that works easier for you, easier for Elle, and easier for me. And I want to find out from you what you think. Would he hear that, or would he shut you out then?
It could be hit or miss, but I'm usually set with, it's as if there's a coping mechanism to not feel things, right? I think anything that brings up any emotional reaction, there's somewhat like crying that comes up, and then it's like, I don't want to talk about this right now, and then get out of my room. It's pretty cut and dry.
That's because they're feeling threatened.
Right.
So then you want to back up and think to yourself, what is it about what I'm saying right now that feels threatening? It's a tough balance to find between the extremes of letting it all hang out and tight structure. Kristen needs to find a balance, allowing them to pour out their emotions in a supportive environment while at the same time standing firm in self-respect and not allowing them to use her as their punching bag. A hard position when you're triggered by PTSD experiences of being her ex's punching bag. Up and say, what is it you would like to have happen in the morning?
Right.
And then come back with, and here's what I would like.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how we can figure out what to do so we both get what we want.
Right.
So the language you choose is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to sound to them like you're telling them what to do.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And that means from their perspective.
Yep. Oof.
You want to go toward what is going to make this easier for everybody.
Okay.
And you want to make sure, I don't think there's any worry here that it doesn't sound like you're blaming.
No.
But it can sound like you're going to tell them what you think they should do. And so be very sensitive to that. And then say what you want and finding out what they want. And keep it very short and simple.
Right. I am very talkative. But so that it does sound interesting because you said not to do questions, but that did sound a question. Like, what do you think the morning should look? So is it kind of the way you... Is it more like, I'm just being curious and saying out loud, or, you know, because that is a question, right? Like, what do you want the mornings to look like?
But you don't want to start out with the question.
Okay.
Right? So I am really curious to find out how we can all make mornings easier for mm-hmm. all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us like it right now. It's not happening in a good way for anyone. And I would like to start out by asking you what you would like mornings to mm-hmm. look like. If you could wave a magic wand, what would it look like?
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of wondering out loud, and this is a question that you get to, but you're starting out without a question. And you're not saying, you know, what do you want to do in the morning, or why can't you get yourself together on time? Not that you would say that, but,
right.
You know.
I try to explain to my little guy that R doesn't feel good in the morning and we're going to be a teammate to R and how can we do that? But then I also do try to validate that I understand you don't want to go to school and it's really hard to be away from mommy. Like, I understand that. That's so hard, buddy. I don't know how to make the little guy. It's like they're total opposites in what they need. R needs to get out on time. L doesn't want to go. So even whatever R says for the magic wand involves the little guy and like they're just on different pages.
Well, if R says what they want with the magic wand, mm-hmm. then you would validate that and acknowledge, yes, I see you really want that. And that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Now, how do we bring in L to that picture?
Right.
That sort of thing. You said that you're talking to L about what R wants. I would not do that because in this hostile relationship, L doesn't care anything about what R wants, right? And if you're bringing in how can we be a team and help R, then in fact, to L, it sounds like you're preferring R.
Right. Yep, that makes sense. I like that outside perspective. I guess it sounds like I would love to have this team environment with my kids, but I kind of have to acknowledge or just accept that it's not a team right now. Right. Like they're just
right.
Not.
Right. And that's what you're working toward.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
But you've got a lot of steps to go along the way. Now, let me just ask you some logistics. What is your morning routine like? Do you give enough time for being together? Do you have breakfast together? What is the morning routine like?
The bus comes at 8:03. I'll start with the deadline. So
yes,
R would like to be woken up at 6:30. Sometimes this is tough because I'm just a human too, and so I set alarms. But if I oversleep by a few minutes and I'm waking R up at 6:35, it's like the crisis has commenced. I've tried to, maybe I should empower R with like an alarm clock.
I think that's a great idea.
Right.
Especially if it's that important to him, mm-hmm. you need to turn that over to him.
Right. And so I did give R an alarm clock, but it wasn't the right one. So I could purchase mm-hmm. the one that R wants. That is a change I can make. L currently right. sleeps in my bed, and I've been trying to be cognizant of L. L takes longer to wake up. Now it's winter. L gets very upset and usually says it's the middle of the night, even if it's not, right? Because it's darker. Mm-hmm. And L mm-hmm. is like, it's not morning. L wants lots of snuggles. I'm trying to work with that. L seems to be very connected to me. I think L has some like attachment trauma around, you know, the divorce. And so L wants to be physically connected to me a lot. So I'll try and leave some time for L with snuggles with me, laying on top of me while we watch TV. R is completely independent in R's bedroom, on the iPad, gets dressed independently. Does hair and teeth independently, eats breakfast upstairs in the room independently. I bring the breakfast upstairs. It's supposed to be a loving gesture. I don't know if it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to show R that I love and appreciate them, so I'm bringing breakfast. Both kids kind of eat watching TV getting ready in the morning. Full caveat, I have explored this screen time TV thing, and right now, because of my exhaustion level and the kids' exhaustion levels that I'm hearing about, we watch too much TV, but it's really like, it's something I have to sort of replenish myself and work up to work on. Cause right now, otherwise I think it would be a huge, huge fight and I don't think we can do it.
Kristen wants to show Elle love by bringing breakfast to him in hopes he will appreciate her more. But it actually entitles him to expect room service and allows him to avoid family interaction during the morning routine. TV, another understandable distraction, gives Kristen time to reset, but will make things harder in the long run. In giving them what she thinks they need, she devalues herself and her desire for the connected family she wants. Thank you.
I do pack lunches in the morning. I'll never be a parent that packs at night. That's just not real for me because I'm tired and I'm a single mom. And really, it seems like after breakfast, R is just fine. But then when it hits like 7:40, R is like, we have to go. We have to be on time. We have to get out the door. And with L, maybe if I took longer to make lunch, I have to sort of finesse L into dressing. I have to help L do it because there's definitely like, I don't want to get dressed. One more minute of shows. One more minute of a pull-up. One more minute before going downstairs. It's all delay. One more minute. I'm not ready. So I literally have to dress L. And then R, if we get to a certain time, and I'd love to say like, oh, I'll just be great as a human and I'll never be late. But that's not true either. So the crisis starts around 7:40, 7:45. Where L's still delaying, R starts to freak out, get hysterical and start crying. I get activated when I'm trying to chill and we're trying
to get
to the door.
Are they both watching television at that time?
Depends. R brings around the iPad. L might still be, yeah, probably still is.
I think, you know, a part of this goal toward, you know, the making the mornings work more smoothly. I totally understand what you're saying, Kristen, about you need to have that time to get yourself together. But I think when you're able, and the sooner the better, unfortunately, because the more they get used to it, the harder it is. The when you're able to get rid of screens in the morning altogether and have breakfast together, you're going to have an easier go of it, but it's going to be really tough getting there, I think.
I've worked with other supports as well. And so right now, like, we don't have any sort of, the children do not want to eat together. They don't want to be around
each other. I understand. Yep. And that's why it's a journey. It's a journey. But that's one of the problems. And who knows, you know, is it the chicken or the egg that's creating some of the stress? We don't know.
Well, I do feel again, and I'm mentioning this, and it's just at their dad's house, they have so much less agency. I do know that at that house, they, like, really strict things were put in place pretty early on. Like, you're going to eat what we cook you, and you have to cook for you. You have to try it. And as I've been an observer from what I've heard, those have also been relaxed. So I think maybe the kids are both just integrity kids because they do fight a ton.
I don't think we want to talk about integrity with these kids because we don't know where a lot of this behavior is coming from.
Okay, perfect. I wouldn't have thought of that. So I think there's something in it just feels to me that the kids fight extra hard for agency at my home. And so when I suggest things like eating together, it's like the fight of their lives. They're pushing so hard because they don't get agency other places.
Well, I don't think it's agency. I think it's getting to the bottom of why they don't want to be together to eat a meal. What is it that is causing them to be so adverse to the three of you eating together? Why can't they be together?
I think they're tired. Like, I really think they need rest too, and they don't get it. Like, they don't get to choose things.
Well, sometimes kids have too much to choose, you know? And some structure, it sounds like maybe an in-between place. Some structure maybe is what they need. Scaffolding. You've heard that term in terms of parenting, scaffolding. And maybe if they're going from very strong structure to no structure, it's feeling like they're floundering.
Right.
They don't get their needs met in the very strong structure when they're supposed to do what they're told, and they have very little with you because you want to give them a voice. You want them to be heard, but there's something in between
right.
that I think they need.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about, you said, like, with, say, screens in the morning, I think, like, if I can commit to probably having, like, a cutoff time for both of them, right? Like, you know, and we could go through that together. Like, this is going to be the cutoff time. And then I think I could pull that off.
Right. And then talk about what they can do after that mm-hmm. that's fun.
Yeah.
That's not, and you have to be cut off and get dressed and get out the door.
Right.
So maybe before the cutoff, they're getting dressed in front of the television.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work it back from the bus
yeah.
and get it on a big whiteboard in the yeah. kitchen or something where they see what things have to be done, brushing their teeth, getting their clothes together, all of that. While you're making their lunch, mm-hmm. and then you have time where the three of you come together.
Yeah.
And I do think it's, you want to work toward that eating together. That may take who knows how long.
That's where I feel like it'll take so long, but that's what I want. I mean, like, my needs, I would love to have a more connected family. It feels very disconnected right now.
Right. I know. Of course.
I guess, like, just to say, because I think about this a lot for other divorced parents out there who are in, you know, not amicable divorces, it is very hard because not having them 50% of the time, you're really not in control of anything. And I think hope other people can hear this and just feel like there's other people going through this. It's so odd because I keep being told, like, their behaviors aren't the same at the other household. And it's like I can't really imagine what their lives are like switching every 2 to 3 days to very different homes. It does just feel pretty yucky that I feel like the narrative, though, is that, well, they act out more at your house. I feel like there's a judgment that it's, like, my fault that they act this way.
Of course you feel that way. And, yes, they are letting down everything with you because they can.
Like, all these steps, they sound great. It's just, oh, it's just, it's exhausting.
Impossible to,
it's
I know.
Exhausting.
It's exhausting. And it's, I think the, we don't have time to do that here on this podcast, but I think figure out one of these tasks to focus on.
Yeah.
You know, just one.
I think my takeaway is I would do, like, all right, I can have, like, a screen turn off time in the morning, right? I could mm-hmm. do that. I think there will be, without the language of, you said, or integrity or harmony, like, the reactions will be strong and they will last longer. My
yes.
children do not go they quietly. Like,
right.
they will be very, right. very long. And so they are exhausting.
The firmer and cleaner and calmer you are with that,
yep.
that reaction will diminish, I
yep.
think. When they know that their reaction is not going to push you to give them a little bit more time.
Right. That's hard.
Which is, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, why it's your work. It's so, it's always, always the parent.
Yes.
So try that and let's, you know, maybe do a follow-up sometime and think about, see how one step goes. The problem is they're all connected.
Yes, I agree. And so I really just do appreciate your perspective. I want to take into account sort of the being curious and making my statements when trying to go over behaviors, you know, and then also I think that one morning thing could be something that I feel like I have the energy and bandwidth to do, because there's a lot of things I just know I don't.
Thank you so much, Kristen, for sharing this. I know you're talking to lots of similar parents, similar situations out there.
I appreciate it. And thank you for the work you're doing. I think just understanding children that are challenging and not making us feel like alone in that is really helpful.
All right. Well, thanks so much for telling me about your kids. Thanks for listening. I'm Bonnie Harris. If you're curious to learn more or would like to talk to me personally, check out my website, bonnieharris.com, where you can also find my books, When Your Kids Push Your Buttons and Confident Parents, Remarkable Kids. There are also links in the liner notes. And please subscribe to Tell Me About Your Kids on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Tell Me About Your Kids is produced and scored by Echo Finch.